It was evident that a locally published paper would aid the work in Australia. A local address would establish an impression of permanency and encourage contacts. Papers could be distributed more quickly. Charges against Adventists and the public press could be answered in a denominational paper, and postage costs would be cut in half. The pioneers decided to print a 16-page monthly, Bible Echo and Signs of the Times. But as usual, there was one big problem.
I'm eager to start the paper, of course. That's why I came down here. But how can we? We don't have any money for equipment.
True, Brother Scott. But we must go forward in faith. The work in Australia has been made more difficult for us because we lacked the faith to move ahead 10 years ago. I don't believe God wants us to hold back now.
I agree with you, Brother Haskell. Brother Scott, if you're willing, I'll be glad to go with you to look for suitable equipment.
Thank you, Brother Corliss. I know of some merchants who have the sort of equipment we need. Let's explain the situation to them.
You undertake to do business with no credentials, without any bank account, without any standing in the city?
We need the printing office.
Oh, I can't do business with you. Good day.
Well, I've never done business that way. Haven't you any money at all?
£10.
When can you pay for this?
In 4 months.
Will you give me your note to be paid in that time?
Yes, sir.
This isn't a business way of doing it yet. I feel impressed to let you have it.
The equipment cost £1,000, or $5,000. William Arnold donated £240, or $1,200, from the proceeds of his books, which suddenly sold by the hundreds. J.O. Corliss gave $550, and Stephen Haskell $225. Donations came from converts and from the merchant himself. The print shop was set up in the suburb of North Fitzroy in September 1885, and new converts W.H.B. Miller and J.H. Woods sold their printing business to throw in their lot with the work of the church. October 8, 1885, Stephen Haskell arrived in New Zealand to sign up sales agents for the Bible Echo and Signs of the Times. In Auckland, he stayed in a boarding house operated by Edward Hare, a transplanted Irishman, and his wife Elizabeth. The Hares were puzzled by their lodger, who did not eat meat or drink tea, and whose Sunday was on Saturday. The other lodgers soon complained that the reverend gentleman was bewitched.
Mr. Eyre! Mr. Eyre! That bloke in the room next to me is daft. He keeps talking to himself, and there's this strange clicking sound coming from his room every night. Either get rid of him, or I leave.
He's some old crank we got hold of. We'll just have to go.
Oh, no, Edward, don't be so hasty. I really believe he has the truth.
I'm going to show you that you're not right, Lizzie. I'm going to go up to his room and get to the bottom of things right now. I'll be back when I know what's going on.
Well, Edward?
Lizzie, that man isn't daft. He's praying for us. He has the truth, I feel sure. Let's hear him out.
Well, tell you, and you wouldn't believe me. But what makes that clicking sound?
We'll ask him.
Why, it's my typewriter, Mr. Hare. See, I put a sheet of paper in like this. Then I strike the keys, and I can write letters and articles for our church papers.
A typewriter? I've heard of them, but we haven't any in these parts. I'm going to send to America for one right away.
The Hares led out in forming a company of Sabbath keepers in Auckland. Stephen then visited the village of Kale, where Edward Hare's father, Joseph, and his large blended family lived. And a second company of Sabbath keepers was raised up. Within a month, Robert, one of Joseph's sons, left to study for the ministry at Healdsburg College in California. In January 1886, after establishing several sales agents on both North Island and South Island, Stephen returned to Australia, where he learned of the progress of the tent meetings conducted by Pastor Corliss.
We could hardly believe it, Brother Haskell. With all the unfavorable notices the papers had given us on our work, we didn't expect many to come. But the papers only aroused the curiosity of the people, and they flocked to the meetings.
That's wonderful, Brother Corliss.
The door-to-door visiting and Bible studies we did when we first came bore fruit, too. People who were interested in our Bible studies began to study with their neighbors and bring them to the meetings.
God has truly been with us, Sister Corliss. Mm-hmm. Are many individuals ready for baptism?
Not individuals. Whole families. Once the Australians become convinced of the Sabbath truth, they go out and convert their loved ones. One man brought 12 of his 13 relatives into the church.
And one contractor stopped working on Sabbath. He let his employees make up the time by working overtime 5 days a week.
When time was running out on a government contract, he worked his crew on Sundays. Well, the police planned to arrest him for Sunday work, but a lawyer stopped them.
He told them that English law is based on God's law. And what if the Adventists are right in their explanation of that law? So they dropped it.
We're ready to organize a church here, Brother Haskell.
Oh, yes.
On January 10th, 1886, the first SDA church in Australia was organized in the Melbourne suburb of North Fitzroy. On his way home to America in March, Stephen Haskell spent 2 weeks in New Zealand, where the KO Church was organized on March 23rd. Also during this visit, Stephen accompanied the Hares to a Maori village where he brought joy to the hearts of his listeners by preaching on the second coming of Jesus. On May 7th, Stephen was reunited with Mary in South Lancaster, Massachusetts. In August 1886, a second Australian church was formed in Ballarat, Victoria. Tent meetings in Adelaide, South Australia, were hindered by bad weather and the discovery of gold north of the city. But at the end of the series, on December 2nd, a church was formed. California believers responded enthusiastically when the KO Church asked if the American Brethren could sponsor another student for the ministry. And, late in the year, the church sent A.G. Daniels and his wife to New Zealand. The couple arrived in Auckland at 11 p.m., November 14th, 1886.
Yes?
Brother Hare, I'm Pastor Daniels, and this is my wife, Mary.
How do you do?
Come in, come in. Sure, and we've been meeting every ship for days. We'd about given up hope you were coming.
The Alameda left San Francisco late, and we just now got in. Someone kindly directed us to your home.
I'm glad you got here. It's settled for the night, and Lizzie and I will talk with you at breakfast.
How goes the work here in New Zealand, Brother Hare?
Very well in many ways. We've begun publishing a monthly paper in Maori with Bible studies, stories from the Bible, and articles on temperance.
You're very concerned about the Maori, aren't you, Brother Hare?
Yes, I am, Sister Daniels. Our whole family is. My father preaches to them, and my stepmother works among them as a nurse.
We hope you'll visit KO soon, Brother Daniels. A number of Maori and other interested people are attending our services there.
I'll certainly do that, Sister Hare. I plan to hold 2 weeks of tent meetings here, and then I'll go directly to KO and do the same. We'll see what happens after the meetings there.
God be praised, Pastor Daniels. Your meetings here in KO have surely been blessed by him.
He's rewarded the faithful labor you and your family have given him, Brother Hare. Today's 15 baptisms have doubled the size of the KO Church. And they do as much to your Bible studies as to the tent meetings.
And now we have our first Maori convert.
Yes. The Maori sister who was baptized today is a precious gem in your crown.
Here comes my younger brother, Metcalf.
You remember meeting him, don't you?
Yes, I do. It's good to see you again, brother.
Oh, thank you, Pastor. I have a special reason for seeing you. I want to go back to Auckland with you as your tent master for the Surrey Hills Mission. I believe that's the way I can best serve my Lord right now.
I'll be glad to have your assistant, Brother Hare. I must say, I've been impressed with the eagerness of the KO believers to be self-supporting and to help with the mission near Auckland. The money the church gave us has helped greatly with our tent expenses, and now we're offered the services of a talented man like yourself. Surely God will bless the work of such dedicated laymen.
Dedicated laymen would be needed in the land down under for the next several years. Daniels was the only pastor in New Zealand, and when J.O. Corliss returned to America because of ill health, M.C. Israel remained as the sole SDA minister in Australia. In 1888, 30-year-old Robert Hare, newly ordained, returned to New Zealand with his American bride. An American pastor, G.C. Tenney, joined Israel in Australia. That same year, the Australian Conference was organized, and in 1889, the New Zealand Conference was formed. More help was needed, and it would soon be on the way.